Hi everyone. I hope everyone had a wonderful as wonderful Yontif as we had. So we I just want to like kind of summarize a little bit what we have accomplished in the last month and try to bring it to a reality of the reality of what's called Cheshvan, a Mar Cheshvan, which is Mar is the word bitter. It's a bitter Cheshvan. This last we was Chodesh. The rabbis say the reason why it's Mars because there's actually no Yontif in the actual month. And I think a part of that is the feeling of being a full month, or let's even call 2 months of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and the Avodah of being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ends with such a beautiful, reality of Hashem says, I want to invite you into my own house, into my own Suda together. And we have to, or we want to, we kind of want to try to figure out how is it that we connect and take that inspiration and take that beautiful, feeling and that beautiful reality of just being totally immersed in a sukkah, being totally immersed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and taking it to the cold, dark winter days of what starts Cheshvan, right? And like wonderful Colorado, which is, 2 days ago, it's gorgeous outside and now it's freezing. It's an avoda. So it's worthwhile to review some of the things, not that I said them here in the classes, because I think that we so many Yom HaTovim, we haven't had a class on some of these topics, but it's worthwhile to go through a little bit of what we have maybe have accomplished, and also what we could hop around, we could hop, grab, and take for ourselves. So this, in context of that, we know that Hashanah Rabbah, we talked with Hashanah Rabbah, Hashanah, right? Hashanah, please save us. Right, we daven to Hashem. It's the shmizim of David HaMelech. It's tefillah. It's every David HaMelech Yisroel Chayvikayim. We go 7 times around. We're completing the avoda of how many days? Well, if you count from Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, till Hashanah Rabbah, it's 51 days. So Hashanah, save us now with the nun aleph. Nun is 50 and aleph is one. With the 51 days of avoda. You give us the ability to save, give us the ability to take everything that we've done in those 51 days and put that into the what's called the Piskatova, put that into the actual reality, the actual message, mail of what our year's gonna look like. Take all that, we ask Hashem. And then what happens is we get to 52, which means at Sarah Simchat Torah, which is 52 is Ben, right? Hashem says, Banim Atem Hashem, you are children to me. I don't want to leave you. I don't want you to leave. Why? Right? Everyone else, it could go. Why do you say, why are you special? Because you're my child. You're my everything. You're my reality. And we have this famous, beautiful concept, and we're seeing it, Nagila v'nispecha bach, that we should be Nagila v'nispecha on Simchas Torah, which is also Shmini Atzeres, in most, in Eretz Yisrael, but as separate, but still the same concept. We should be Nagila, we should rejoice, and we should be, Sameach, we should be happy bach. So the Medrash in Shir Hashirim of all places, because that's what the pasuk is, right, wants to know, what is the bach? What does it mean to rejoice in bach? Into in, with in the within rejoice with this. So Medrash has a bunch of different explanations. The one very powerful one, especially if you know my affinity to the aleph-bays, right? I think at one point, I know that I gave a class at one point on the aleph-bays, right? So Bach is Beis Chaf. That's 22. We know there's 22 ICIs, there's 22 aleph-bays, there's 22 different of the Aleph Beis, which we understand to be the building blocks of the world. We know Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Medrash says that Hashem used the Torah, literally the words of the Torah to create. When Adam named everything, he named it, we're using the Lashon HaKodesh, which is the name, the essence of it. So our light is our, Mayim is Mayim. The word itself is the building blocks, it's the constitution of the actual physical thing. So Nagum is a Bach, we rejoice within the 22 ICS, right? Notwithstanding that Simchas Torah Shmiat Tzeres is what is 22 days from Rosh Hashanah. We rejoice with each day that of the Volda, each day that we build on our own Kedusha, our own holiness. And how do we do that? We do that through Chesed, we do it through Bach, we do Tefillah. But what we're expressing is what makes us a child of Hashem, which makes us Banim Atem Hashem, what makes us special is not anything just because. It's because we understand so powerfully, so beautifully, that our ability, our interaction with this world, our interaction with Torah, our interaction when we do chesed, our interaction of how we act physically in this world has a direct relationship to everything in this world, both physical and spiritual. And our bracha, our simple bracha, our shaking lulav and esrei, our chesed, our kindness is earth-shattering. It changes in the realm of the world. It's not this world, but it changed all the way up to Shemayim and all the way back. Nefesh HaChayim deals with this in a very long way. And he says that if people would understand how powerful that each bracha they make, how powerful that is, that you're not just tapping into a bracha that you're only thinking of Hashem. Of course you have to think of Hashem. But more that you're tapping into the fifth, that this, you are tapping into the faucet, the flow of bracha all the way into the world. So before you made this bracha, before you did that chesed, there was a world without this bracha, without this chesed. And now there's a whole completely new world, a whole completely new world with this bracha, right? With this chesed. And the whole world has completely changed because of that. And how do we do that? Because we tap into the belief system that the Aleph Beis, the letters of the Torah, which is, because the Torah is the same letters that built human and same letters that built the physical reality of the world. And when we tap into that and we create that and we nuzzle over this one, we rejoice in that. We understand that our Voda is in that reality, that we believe that our actions are so powerful. Because why they're so powerful? Because they innately direct the whole reality of the world. Look, we know Adam and Chava. I mean, they're great people, obviously, and they did great things. They also did a great Avera. But that one Avera changed the whole history of the world. Right? Maybe we won't believe in ourselves that we could change the whole world. You know, one Avera, one mitzvah. But at least we've been proven if our eyes are open enough that what our words and our actions for someone, what is a child, a spouse, a community member, could either make or break them. Every one of us. So let's just make a kind of claim. If that's this, you could make or break someone. You could change someone. You could make a difference in someone's life in such a real way, right? So if we understand that our brachas do that too, our chesed, our actions do that too, we would be absolutely in simcha of the opportunity that we have. The other side of this is quite scary, but you know, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, Nefesh HaChaim, the same Nefesh HaChaim, the scribe, he says a shocking thing. He says that our wrong machshava, a Jewish person's wrong machshava, a wrong thought process in regards to the service of Hashem, is more damaging in the world than Titus of Russia when he went into the Kosher Kedushim and he was Bel Zayna when he slept with a prostitute in the Kosher Kedushim. Because he said that's this physical world. But our reality is that we interact in this world and all the way up on all levels. And we connect with people on all levels. There's a beautiful medrash on the same pasuk, which is a Excuse me? There's a beautiful pasuk that says that that discusses the concept of it says a beautiful story. It's a Nagilnis Chabach. It says a story. It was Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai was presented with a situation where a husband and wife, the Nebuch, they never had children for after 10 years, and they you know, the Keter Shimon Chai and Shimon Chai said, you have to separate now. That's the halacha. And they decided to have one last suda. There's different commentaries say what that suda is for. One of the more powerful but hard to understand is that the same way that they understood that Hashem wanted them to be married, now they're not going to be married and they're accepting Hashem's will. That's a tremendous madrigal of making the suda for that. And they made a suda. And it's a suda, the wife, you know, gave the husband, yummy food and delicious food and what to drink and everything. And, you know, one of the secrets of feeding your husband and making sure, she, you know, he's fed right is that the husband is endeared to the wife. So the husband turns to the wife and says, we have to do what we have to do, but please take one thing from the house, bring it back to your father's house that's the most precious to you. I'm offering you to take the most precious thing that you have, that you want, you could take back to your house. Right? Lo and behold, the next morning, and the husband finds his, wakes up in his father-in-law's house, and he turns to his wife, and he says, what am I doing here? She had fallen asleep from his drunkenness. She said, you remember you promised me last night that the most precious thing in the world is I could take. The most precious thing that's for you is I could take back to my father's house. And you, my husband, is the most precious thing. And Rashi Meichai, when he heard this story, he said, if that's the connection they have, I'm a davar to Hashem and the mitzvah Hashem does have a child. And they had a child. And the Medrash very powerfully says, he says a kav v'chomer. He says, if it's true that a melech, a basar adam, a person, a regular physical person, right, could be inspired to daven and change, right, and change the realities on the ground, the physical realities on the ground, because of saying, I choose you. Right, I chose you because you're most precious. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Klai Yisrael, come into my place, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I chose you, and we say we choose you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. We choose you. We want to be your children, and choose a kavachom what that does in the world. And so that's nagila v'nispcha bach. You should rejoice and be simcha in the bach in the aspect that we have chosen, that we have the ability, we've chosen each other. Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And so what we do is we come out of the Simchas Torah, and now we have to enter a physical reality. We have to go back to the real world, right? Which is ugly out there in a real way. It's only ugly because we look at it in terms of our physical glasses. We don't look at it in terms of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, even during these times. Baruch Hashem, I mean, on Wednesday, there's going to be three brisim in Denver. I don't think that, I don't remember, I knew that Schwab told me he doesn't remember that ever happening. So you have three brisim, in one day. Rabbi Nusin, Rabbi Melamed, Yitzhak Melamed, and Moshe Schwab. And so even in this dark times, dark in quotations, there's so much bracha. But, the Sasevah says a fascinating thing, which I think is a very key to how we go back to the physical world and still be able to soar as Banim Atem Lashem, as children to Hashem. Says there's a famous machlekes when it comes to sukkahs, right? Why do we have a sukkah? So the machlekes is do we have a sukkah because a sukkah is mamish, right? Because they physically had sukkahs in the desert. Or do we have a sukkah as a member, as a chus of a non-covered, of the undercovered, as a remembrance of the undercovered, the clouds? The Sfas says, they're both, they're not arguing, they're both true. He said, when we enter the sukkah mamish, the physical boards of a sukkah, we enter that, and we say that in the physical reality, right, we want to connect Hashem. Our physical being wants to be connected to Hashem. We choose Hashem. You know what happens? The sukkah mamish becomes an ununcovered. What's an ununcovered? Ununcovered is a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual cloud, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you ingrain yourself into the physical world, right? And in that physical world, you find Hashem. You say, this is Hashem, this is what I want. I want Hashem in this. I see Sukkah's mamish, and I do that as a memory, as a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you on Kafin Hashem. He makes you soar like the clouds. He brings you up from the level of the Sukkah's mamish to Kafin Hashem. So the whole purpose of Sukkah, the whole 51 days, 52 days of Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Yom Tov, is a preparation to fulfill our tafkid. The tafkid of engaging in the physical world, engaging back into the spiritual world, into the physical winter world where we might not always see everything as warm and sunny, as, you know, right? We tell we can see the chesed of the summer, which warm, it's beautiful. When it gets dark at night, you have to have a moon in the Kosh Baruch Hu's there. What we're trying to do is to chaperai, to grab the inspiration and grab the reality of the connection of the Kosh Baruch Hu. How do we do that? Well, Simchas Torah. What's Simchas Torah? We grab the Sefer Torah. So I said, I spoke on Simchas Torah night, before the Kafas. I said that, right, this year we can't grab the Sefer Torah, but we can grab our own inspirational Torah. Whatever inspires on a daily basis, we can grab that and we can hold on to it and we can say, this is how my day is going to be spiritual. This is how we create the mitzvah, the chesed, the bracha, the tefillah that we make. And we establish that this is this. That the same way when I look at a sukkah and I look at sukkah mamish, it turns into another covenant. It turns into a spiritual fortress of clouds that protect us from everything. The same is true in everyday life. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created a reality of that which he says is, look, I'll show you what Kedusha is. I'll show you what spirituality is. But what your job is to engage in the physical and make it spiritual. Right? There's nothing more, spiritual than taking the physical darkness and bringing light to it. That's what's called a light unto the nation. That's what Tikkun Olam is. Not the Tikkun Olam of saving the whales. Tikkun Olam is saying that that in this physical reality, that I show you that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every moment of it. Right? In the reality of when things are tough, I am a light unto the nation that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us because he has something that he wants from us for the good, for us to gain out of it, to come out bigger and better and stronger. That's the avoda of the sukkahs. When we receive the warmth, the hug of the sukkahs, the Rizal says, and we use that hug to enable us to survive the dark winters. That's an expression of the we understand. We believe that the sukkahs mamish could become an uncovered. That our physical reality become a spiritual life, a spiritual reality in a way beyond everything. So what's interesting in Bereishis is we have two things, and there are two things that we don't say the word tov mo'od. We say tov. Right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the water from above and the water down, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, it says loy tov adam levado. It's not good that man should be by himself. Now it happens to be that Adam itself in its root is the same letters as mo'od, as a lot. So what's going on here? Why is it specific water and why is it specific Adam? Well, the answer is that the concept of Tov Me'od is that when something is complete, if we still have to bring it to its completion, If it's our job to bring something to completion, right, then it only becomes ma'od when we accomplish that. So mayim, right, mayim is a very interesting thing. Mayim is the concept of separation of machlokas. Now, when do we have machlokas? We can have a machlokas that goes nowhere, and we have a machlokas shem shemayim. But it's still a machlokas. Even the shem shemayim is not tov. Why? Because it's because it's a process to get to somewhere. So we're in a reality of Golus. We're in a reality of that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, after the chet of Adam and Chava, has created a not a tov old world. Not because Hashem doesn't want to give us tov. Of course he wants to give us tov. But the tov ma'od comes about because we, through our differences, through our argument, through our human being and being a human and being also a physical body, have to be the ones to bring the tov ma'od about. And the only way we could do that is by infusing the lessons of the last 2 months. The 52 days of Elul, Roshani, Kippur, Sheshmi, Tshuva, Shana Rabbah, Simchas Torah, Sukkis, the Shvizim, everything. Infusing that and saying, you know what? The way we become complete is by bringing a spirituality to the physical reality, physical thing. The way that starts, the starting point of that is us understanding that if we want to be another covered, if we want to soar like the confident Sharman, like a wing of eagles, if we want to get out of the murk of this physical disaster reality, right, we have to be tight mold. We have to be able to go beyond this our physical being. And that Metzius, that reality is what presents us now in the months of the winter. Of once we left the Yom Tovim, and we're on our own, and it's actually based on Hasidus that the 12 days after Sukkot, each day is a day for the coming months, and you should work on yourself like this to create, to carry on the impact, carry on the infuse. If we do that, if we understand that our potential is in this reality of the darkness to create light. It's in the reality of going beyond what the physical world throwing at us and soaring above that. How do we soar above it? Via tefillah, via our learning, via our chassadim, via how we deal with other people, how we go and go beyond ourselves. The moment we do that, we find ourselves in a reality where we could take the Yom Tovin and we could schlep it along all the way to the next to Hanukkah, the next to Shabbos, anything to the next holy spot. By the way, the reason why we don't use besamim on Matzah Yontif is because on Shabbos we have the Shamei Seira and it leaves, and so therefore we need besamim like a smell to appease the neshama. On Yontif, the inspiration, the Shamay Seva, the inspiration of Yontif lasts in you forever. If you accomplish Yontif, it be gone. You don't need appeasement for that. You don't need a smell of summer to do that. So I think this is where we're heading to. What's the biggest obstacle for us to see the good to see the good in the murkiness, to see the good in sometimes when things are difficult or when they're dark and they're cold? What's the biggest obstacle? So, you know, it's not going to be, you know, anyone knows, you know, my comment, what I've spoken about a malik. Well, it won't be surprised that a malik is the one that sprouts already in the eitz hadaas, right? Hamina eitz is Haman, right? From the eitz of tree eichel. And it says, Kaish Dodder, and one of the punishments for Adam is that thistles and weeds are going to start growing in our crops. What's the expression of thistles and weeds? Kaish and Dodder. Well, anyone that has tried to throw a garden, what are weeds? They ruin all momentum. They just creep up and they frustrate you and they change. So Gemara comes right at the point of creation and is ready attacking. The pasuk says at the end, right before Noach, where the marble is going to come, and we'll have to discuss at a different time why the marble is of water. But there's a simple thing which is important to understand is the very fact that the two things that have did not fulfill the completion, right? Water and mankind play off each other. So when mankind doesn't fulfill the role that they're supposed to in the world of being tov ma'od, then the water comes and overwhelms mankind. So that's a side point of why water. But what we're looking at, it says, the pasuk says, rak rak kol hayom, that there was, at the time right before Noach, right before the Teva, right before the Mabel, rak, everything only was only bad all day. And the end of those, each word, rak rak kol hayom, rak is kuf, ra, the ayin, kol is lamed, and yom is mem. Those four letters, the last letters of each word, spells out a malik. Because what's a malik? A malik is the same gematria as safek, as doubt, and as rum or mar, right? As we talked about mar cheshron, rum means the height, high, like arrogant, and mar means bitter. So what's going on here? Why is mar cheshron bitter? I think the answer is mar cheshron is bitter if we allow it to be bitter. The announcement is funny because we announce it Shabbos Mevorach, we say mar cheshron. And it always bothered me, like, why are we establishing Mar Cheshon? And I think the answer is very, very profound, but very important. If we don't take the lessons of the Yom Tovim, and we say, well, now I need to make things happen to get my own happiness. That's the root of the whole Chita Adam. Right, let's call it the big ego, nochiness, however you want to say that. I have to establish the happiness of the thing in a time of murkiness, the physical murkiness. When I feel that I'm alone, what he's saying is that this is me, and it's only me. That's very bitter. That's a mullet. How do you get rid of that? Is you say, I'm willing to let go. I'm willing to say that the way that I am going to become greater is I'm going to see that in the darkness of spirituality, I'm going to see that there's something more here than myself. So the Mar Cheshron is only bitter as much as we make it bitter. Our downcast view of the after Yom Tov blues is because we're not engaging in the lessons we learned about what it means to look into this physical reality and see spirituality and bring out spirituality and create spirituality. And how much happier are we? You know, I was talking to a person, and I actually said this recently also, right? In my 15, almost 15 years of having to convince people to come learn Night Seder, men to learn Night Seder, and Chavrusas. So the number one excuse that usually the husband likes to pull off is, oh, my wife needs me home, and my wife wants me to stay home, and everything. I said, I'm telling you, I promise you that your wife, if you go out and learn, right, and you really learn, your wife will send you out another night and another night. It's your wife is not the one stopping you. It's you stopping yourself. Why? Because a person that learns, they come home, they feel better about themselves, they feel good. When we're spiritual, and there's a Dr. David Lieberman who writes a whole thing on this, a religious book on this, but when we do the right thing, when we engage in the spirituality, when we let Hashem to be on our team, when we grab hold of the spirituality of the Yontif, we grab hold of Hashem himself, Kiviyachol, when we dance with the Torah, when we dance with the old Torah, with our spirituality, and we sit there, we dance, and we clap, and we do that even when things are tough, right? And you just focus and you say, Hashem, this is what Hashem wants. Let's make something out. When we change the whole focus of that, then you have simcha. You're negil of nischabach. You yourself, your bach is within yourself, you're happy. You have real simcha. Someone called me up today. I was living with him. This person, he was so frustrated, and he was so upset, and he was angry actually. And he told me, he's like, this is a firm Bali tshuva who has a lot of family members who are not religious, and And, you know, this person sent out for Keshet, which people, you know, I know they were struggling a little bit, but we should all help them. I mean, Keshet is a wonderful organization here in town that helps children with special educational needs, right? So this person sent out this family, you know, saying this is something very important, feel very passionate about. And one of his cousins, son, or I don't know, it doesn't matter who it was, like wrote back and he said, you know, those Orthodox Jews do not deserve my value system because I happen to be gay and I know they wouldn't respect my value system. So I don't need to respect their value system, which is a narishkeit shebe narishkeit because we don't respect his actions, but we respect him. But he was so upset about it. I said to the person, you're mad. Don't be mad. Be sad. What a shame. This person, what do you expect from him? He has no Yiddishkeit in his life. He has no spirituality in life. He's a miserable person because it's a selfishness. It's the whole concept of Mishka Zachar is selfishness. It's not making children. It's not Banim Atam Hashem. That's for sure. It's me, me, me. So why do you expect him to see anything more than that? We shouldn't rejoice that other people don't have it, but we for sure should rejoice that we understand the power of what we could do. We should never allow ourselves to be down. It's an issue. It's a chesaron in amuna. It's a chesaron in our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't have a simcha, I'll tell you, it's like, I'm really speaking to myself here and I tried it out tonight. It's amazing. I dropped off Shimon, my son Shimon at the airport, and we have a wedding, Hanukkah time. So, I went to buy tickets at the ticket counter. You know, Spirit Airlines is the way we go when we have to book 9 tickets, Baruch Hashem. But, and the way Spirit Airlines works is that they're like $15 to $20 cheaper at the airport. So I dropped off Shimon, I came there and I saw, I saw that they're not open right now. It was like around 6 o'clock and, you know, the sign said, we're not open now. We'll close from 4:30 to 6:30. It's a half hour. So, you know, Shimon, anyways, he was about to get on the thing. So I said, Shimon, you know, you have time. There's no line security. You still have another hour and 15 minutes. I said, you know, let's hang out. So I got to hang out and then Baruch Hashem, it worked out. And I'm like, the whole time I was thinking in my mind, like, Hashem knows what he wants. I have a busy life, but Hashem knows he wants me to be here. This and everything. So, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm like, maybe the person will come early. Maybe, you know, 6:30, nothing to do. 6:32, 6:33, you know, finally 6:34. And I remember like just thinking in my mind, like, Hashem knows what he wants. Right. So, you know, I could be upset or I could be pleasant. And I chose to be pleasant. And it was, you know, the person was so appreciative. It was like, it was so nice. She apologized for being a few minutes late and that's fine. She explained why she was late. And we just schmoozed a little bit while she was doing this. But I'll tell you, I've never had such good service in my life. It was like in and out, cheap shot. And, you know, thank God. I mean, and the price of it is unbelievable. When we act beyond our own interest, when we act like what Hashem screams at us, Banim Atem, you are my child, and we present ourselves in that way, which means that Hashem is running this world, Hashem is in charge, and Hashem knows what's good for us, even the annoying things, things are just more pleasant. The winter is not as harsh as what's called. Cheshu is not as bitter as it should be. There's a lot of beauty. And what comes out of this? Geshem. Geshem is Gashmias. Geshem, the same word, is the Gashmias, the Otzer, Besecheh, Sedechem, Aspil, Chochai, Ratzon, the Otzer of physical, everything we want in this world, physical, opens up. When we look and we say, is this a bitter month? Is this a mar month? Or is this the month where Hashem is giving the opportunity, an empty month? It's a month where Hashem is giving the opportunity for us to literally engage, right, in a blank month of non-activity, of physical month and take all of our lessons in the last 52 months, 52 days, whatever you want, and engage in a physical world, but with our spiritual. Take the month of Cheshvan and make it soar. Make it be the most amazing month. And when we do that, we bring a light. We bring a light to ourselves, bring a light to other people. So, our koyach. What is our koyach? What is our reality? That's Cheshvan. We grab on to the reality of that every physical opportunity we have, we have the ability to make a spiritual soaring. We could soar beyond it by this engaging and ingraining in that physical our connection to Akash Baruch Hu, our conversation with Akash Baruch Hu. When we do that, there's no such thing as bitterness. There's no such thing. There's no bitterness in it. So we are, there's a interesting, there's an interesting concept that I came across and I wanted to share with you that I think has a lot to do with what we're talking about. So, I don't know if any all of you know, but on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, myself, Rabbi Konosky, and Rabbi Stern, we made a minyan for a group of people. It ended up being on Rosh Hashanah close to 80 people, and then Kippur it ended up being around 30 people all the time, but we ended up touching around 50 people on Yom Kippur. And many of these people really had nowhere to go, and they and we created Baruch Hashem. It was a very successful endeavor. I mean, people, mamish, were in tears at the end of Yom Kippur, how much the Kippur was, how meaningful the Kippur was and everything. And it was beautiful. And one of the things that that we kind of incorporated was there's a group of people that usually go to Uman. They have, you know, all colors and the Breslov. And they wanted, and they wanted to have a little bit of Breslov feel. So Rabbi Konosky, I don't know if I should reveal this or not, but Rabbi Konosky, I happen to have spoken a few times about Nachman and Breslov and from a safe from Lakuta Maron. But Rabbi Konosky actually has an uncle who's a very big Breslov. And he also has a flavor towards Hasidus in globally and also Rabbi Nachman. And one of the things that they do in Breslov on Rosh Hashanah, and probably in Kippur, but they're not there on Inuman and in Kippur, only in Rosh Hashanah, is when they say Amelach, when they say Amelach HaKodesh, anytime they say Amelach, the Chazas Amelach, they start clapping. They clap a lot. And it was interesting. I was interested to know. I asked them their pshat and it's a similar pshat, but I actually found the Vilna Gaon on Simchus Beis Sheva, right? Simchus Torah, Simchus Beis Sheva, we clap. And he says something very fascinating. And I think it ties into a lot of what we're doing. He said that what's the concept of clapping? Like, why do we clap? So first of all, we have two hands. What's a hand? A yad. A yad is 14, right? Yud dalet is 14. So if you take one yad and you take another hand, you take 14 on one side, 14 on the other side, you put it together, you get 28. What's 28? Koach. We're giving strength to something. So what's the strength of that? So what Vilna Gaon says something amazing, which is that we always have, and this goes back to the whole machlokes and everything. There's always two sides. There's good and bad. There's black and white. There's yetzer hara, yetzer tov. There's din, judgment, and rachamim or chesed. Right? There's always this pulling opposing forces. Right? So what do we try to do? We try to bring what's called teferis, right? Avram is chesed, Yitzhak is din, comes Yaakov, and Yaakov is emes, or teferis, or splendor. Why? Because he merges the two, right? He makes a triangle, and triangle, he takes the good of the din, and he takes the good of the chesed, and he compares the two. Let me explain this a little bit more, though I explained in the past, right? Avram was called kula chesed. What happened on Avram that came Kul Chesed? He had Yitzchak. He also had Yishmol. Yitzchak became Kul Adin, right? And Yishmol Chesed, because he became the negative aspect of Chesed. What was the negative aspect of Chesed? He marries a lot of women. Chesed, he gives kindness to a lot of people, but it's the wrong type of kindness. It's a giving. It's just giving. It's like giving a baby it's giving little kids too much candy. Right? It's not, there needs to be control. Right? Yitzhak has din, so he has Yaakov and Esav. Esav takes the din and becomes the mafia, right? They have a very strict code of justice. Right? They have Kivat of Im because they have to respect their forefathers and there's discipline. Right? But there needs to be a balance. Comes Yaakov and he creates a balance between chesed and din. And he creates 12 shvatim, 12 different ways. So what we're trying to do when we have polar opposites, and I'm going to go off for a second here. This politically, it doesn't matter which side you're on. This is still going to be the same thing. I'm going to say the same thing over and over again until I'm blue in the face, right? What if you have polar opposite ideas, you could continue seeing polar opposites. Or you could have to first get splendor. You know, you have splendor by coming to a meeting point. That's what Yaakov does. So when we clap, what we're expressing is we're clapping. I got on this side din. I got this side chesed. And I clap. Clapping, when do you clap? You clap when you're happy. You bring simcha. It sounds very Breslov, right? If there's a Shem b'simcha, it's not Breslov. It's a pasuk, right? But it sounds like, you know, these people hopping up on a van, dancing and being happy and chassidus, right? It sounds as the Goyim said, the Vilna Goyim saying this. What when you express that no matter how I do this, I clap, right? No matter which way I'm coming, right? I'm giving strength to it. Why? Because Hashem, whatever Hashem is, does Hashem is, so it's whatever it is. I understand that the beauty of it is that Hashem wants what's good for us. When we express that, but you bring koach to the side of Tov, right? Because you're accepting it in. And you bring strength to the side of Tov by doing that because you're so happy. And Hashem says, oh, if you're happy with what's going on, I'll give you more happiness. So that's the story. I heard some lady said very nice. She said, you know, she met two people going through a hard time. So she said, what's going on? She said, look, Hashem, what Hashem wants, you know, if Hashem wants me to go this way, I'll go this way. If Hashem wants to go that way, I'll go that way. The second person she spoke to, who also had a bad time, she said it so different, said a little bit differently, but so beautifully. She said, look, whichever way Hashem pushes me, that's how I dance. If Hashem wants me to dance to the left, I'll dance to the left. If Hashem wants me to dance to the right, I'll dance to the right. That's a concept. The concept of bringing it all together, clapping and everything. So we face a dark winter and we come with koach. We come with strength. We come with a moon. We come with kochas. What we end up doing is we tip their scales, the spiritual aspect of us, more to the physical. And that's what we have to do. Now, the thing is, we're not in the best times, right? No, I don't think anyone would say that this is the best of times. I mean, it's a very good time, Baruch Hashem. Hashem, we're alive and we're well fed and we're taken care of. And even our quarantine is lopped off in the harshest of conditions. Baruch Hashem, it's still scary. And there's a lot of like, conversation, and I came across something very beautiful that I want to share. I got it in WhatsApp, but I think there's two points that they make very strong. That's very beautiful. One is for everyone, and the other one is a little musser, not for us, for other people, but it's a little musser in like how we should react with other people. So. It's just, this person said, I don't know who this person is, but he said good. And so he said, you know, growing up, he grew up in New York and there was he was in a shul with his father, David, a very chashuv of a rabbi, chashuv of a rav. And the rav, so what happened was is in like a lot of these New York shuls, if you ever know, they have like three stories, you know. So they have a basement and they each shul shows the matzah Shabbos in the basement. And then they would go back upstairs and they would daven Ma'ariv. And the Rav was, you know, not someone to rush into his Ma'ariv and he davened as much as Shabbos. He wasn't a rush to get out. So what did a lot of people do? They realized, look, we're right here anyways. It's in the basement. If you don't follow up the Rav up, we'll make a little Ma'ariv. Right? We'll make all my, we'll be a little bit quicker, we'll get out faster. And we'll daven ma'ariv, and that's it. And this man said his father never let him daven the ma'ariv. And it was very frustrating because a lot of his friends would daven downstairs with their fathers, and they would go on and they'd go to Perche and Mot Shabbos and whatever, game, whatever they did. And he always like 10, 15 minutes later, and it was a schlep. And his father told him a lesson. He said, this is a lesson I've lived my life with. He said, at any time, there's a question about what should be done in the world. And the question is, you have Rabbanim one way and other people the other way. Always choose the Rabbanim. Always choose the Rabbanim. And, you know, this is something that we have to understand. If we really believe in the concept that everything is spiritual and the Bach is the Berlin Bach of the world is Torah. So we need to speak to our partner before we decide what's right and wrong and what's, you know, everything. And the most, the one machal make is these people that talk and like, you know, rabbis don't know, right? Rabbis don't know, doctors don't know. Rabbis don't know, rabbis are quite capable of speaking to doctors too. And a lot of them are quite smart. And a lot of them have quite ability to have balance. And they know better than the doctors that they're a rabbi, not a doctor. A lot of doctors think they're rabbis, and that's part of the problem sometimes. Right? The rabbi understands his limitations. The doctor doesn't always. So I'm not saying, thank God, we listen to our Rabbanim here, and we also listen to doctors. But I think it's an important piece of understanding. Like, when things go on, where do we put our trust? Who is standing next to? Who are going to be by? And then he said another story that happened, which thank God, I just want to say, this is, I'm talking to people that this is not a musr. It's sharing over things because we live our lives this way, but it's worth sometimes to re-engage and understand this. What she said is that there was a story that happened. In a hotel in Yerushalayim. There's a hotel in Yerushalayim, right? A very fancy hotel. It was one of these Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed meals and everything is very beautiful, very proper. And a mashulach decided to go. It's a good time. He went and started fundraising for all the people. He went around to different people. And this is a mashulach that a lot of people like kind of knew, like felt that he kind of has a lot of money and was like, they weren't happy about it. So this guy said, you know, get out of here. This guy, one of these gavirim, he said, get out of here. Go, come a different time. You know, this is our yontifs. Leave us alone. Why do you have to be? Why do you have to collect here? And he came home and he felt bad. So he went to his yeshiva, which is a good thing to do. And the yeshiva said, you know what? There's a Gemara, a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that you better to be a person who's gonna wake up people to come to the Beis Medrash than to be the person who says, it's time for lunch. It's time for you to go home now. Right? And Rashi says this. Rashi says, cause why? The person that you're telling, come to the Beis Medrash, come. That's a great mitzvah, right? The person who's saying go home, right? It's also a mitzvah. We're talking about great rabbis. They're going to go home. What? They're going to go eat. They're going to go, you know, engage relax a little bit. Why? To come back even and learn more, right? It's not, no one's saying it's not a mitzvah. But what the Gemara is saying is that there's certain mitzvahs that you should grab and certain mitzvahs you can left for other people to have. Well, there's a mitzvah when you engage people, when you bring people in and closer. When you tell people, right, when you engage people in a positive way, when you bring them closer, when you bring them to the Beis Medrash, go ahead. But you're telling the person not to do something, when you're pushing away someone, he said, that's a mitzvah that we should avoid. And just like this person was writing, he's saying, look, he said, nowadays we have a lot of back and forth and a lot of machlokes, and I'm really not taking sides on the machlokes. But like, let's just speak what I believe that Hashem wants from us is to take the inspiration of that Banim Atam Hashem. First of all, we're all Banim Atam Hashem. We all, every one of us, and we all have different ideas and concepts of what's safe, what's not safe, this and everything. Right? And there's a mitzvah, and we should be very careful. But there's a way of doing it. There's a way of bringing people closer, and there's a way of pushing people away. And that's the avoda of, I think, of the avoda of Mar Cheshvan. You can make the world, you can make the physical reality, you can make the hardness of this world, the harshness of this world, bitter for yourself and bitter for other people. Or you could take that same Mar, which famously we know, if you remember in Chumash, right? Moshe Rabbeinu took the Mar, the bitter thing, and threw it into water to make it sweet. It became sweet. Right? You can make that, you can take a bitter situation, a bitter reality, and say, we're beyond this, we're bigger than this. I want to be closer to Hashem. I want to be closer to the Torah. I want to be closer to what's right. I want to engage in the mitzvahs that engage people to come to the Beis Midrash, not to engage in the mitzvahs of that maybe will hustle and push people away. If we did that, then we would be in a very powerful place. And I just want to say this because, we have to be so careful on these points. Someone didn't come for Simchas Torah this year. And I asked him, why didn't he come to Simchas Torah? And he told me, he said it was taken care of, but he said he had a very bad experience last Simchas Torah. Someone told him a very strong line. And he was very hurt. It's not a guy that gets hurt. And I heard about this. I heard that this past Simchas Torah also, someone got hurt. And it's all, people want to do good. But the question we have to ask ourselves, I think it's a very important question, especially when we're telling someone else something to do or not to do, is this, are we engaging them to come closer? Or are we being the ones to take on the responsibility of pushing someone out? And do we want to be that? Do we want that mitzvah? Do we want that mitzvah? We maybe let someone else have that mitzvah. So our voda for Mar Cheshvan is to take Cheshvan and make it that it's not really bitter. It's if we engage in it in the way of the lessons of what we learned for Yom Tov, then we see it's not bitter. It's really amazing. It's really great. Our bracha is that the Geshem that comes from this month, which we started Marsha Rechem and Geshem, we gave 2 weeks for everyone to go back to the normalcy in the Oilo Regal. My bracha is that the Gashmi is the Geshem that comes down. That bracha is a real bracha. It's a bracha of because the Gashmi is infused with spirituality. It's infused with our connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we connect with that, we soar on confidence sharm. The sukkah's mamish, the sukkah mamish, the boards of the sukkah now take us into the physical world and they bring it up and they soar on confidence sharm. Ultimately, where we all soar to confidence sharm to the Mashiach Meher B'meinu Amen. Before you go, I just want to say one more thing. Let me stop recording.